Hello, welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kaveh Tafwi. In this news analysis, we're going to take a look at the country that has not made the headlines as often as you would think. Well, the use of Western manufactured live ammunition and poison gas on anti-regime demonstrators, even the launch of rocket-propelled grenades. Now, this would usually make headline news, yet Western media have barely covered this. The country is Yemen. And in this news analysis, we will look at the situation there and find out from our guests where it's headed, while we put the U.S.-backed PGCC deal led by Saudi Arabia and rejected by Yemeni protesters under the microscope. But first, a look at this report.
Protests continue against Yemen's longtime ruler in different parts of the country. The demonstrations have again turned violent. Several people were killed in the flashpoint city of Taiz after the security forces opened fire on the protesters. Dozens of others have been wounded. A water cannon attempts to disperse anti-government protesters, but the iron fist tactics of the regime have seemingly failed.
This week we have a program of escalation. There is a program of escalation. It will surprise everyone. And there is a block of undecided people. The protesters will resolve this situation in this week.
Ali Abdullah Saleh must leave. We want to build a civil state where there is democracy, where there is justice. Our only demand is that he go.
Some foreign countries are also playing their part in Yemen, but they're not siding with the Yemeni people. Neighboring Saudi Arabia is said to be pressuring Saleh, who's been in power for over 32 years, not to step down. Riyadh has also been putting forward plans to keep the unpopular president in the political spectrum and is trying to prevent the regime from collapsing. The U.S., which has traditionally been behind unpopular, despotic regimes in the region, is also turning a blind eye to the brutal crackdown in Yemen. However, the popular uprising against Saleh shows no sign of abating. Instead, it's gained momentum in recent weeks. It remains to be seen whether Saleh's allies can save him from buckling down under the heavy pressure of his own people.
Let's try to get some answers to those questions. Joining us from London, we have Ali Al-Kabani, who's a Middle East expert. From Beirut, Nada Hashwi, a political scientist, joins us. And from Washington, rounding off our guests, is Brian Downing, who's a military and political analyst. Thank you all for joining us in this Press TV News Analysis. Let me start with our guest in Washington, Brian Downing. Brian Downing, the use of poisonous gas, not to mention rocket-propelled grenades, and recently in particular, the use of helicopters reported to be recent additions, courtesy of the Obama administration. In particular, if we look at this 1206 program, in which there has been equipment that has been transferred from U.S. stockpiles to Yemen, $1.3 billion worth since the year 2006, Yemen to be the largest recipient, brings into question arms sales versus human rights.
Well, yes, it does. I'm not sure to what extent the United States has been selling weapons to Yemen. As I understand it, they seem to have mostly Russian and Soviet-made equipment. The United States is very eager to have some sort of stable transition to some form of government. They're very fearful of a complete collapse of government in Yemen. Furthermore, the United States is very leery of the al-Qaeda presence there. There are 200, perhaps 300 al-Qaeda figures operating in rural areas, I believe mainly in the south. There is a cleric, al-Awlaki, who was born in the United States, and he is sort of a spiritual mentor who has encouraged attacks inside the United States. That's the main concern, the two of them, al-Qaeda and some sort of stable government. I don't think the American support for Saleh is going to be limitless or long. I think they want some sort of transition.
Well, let's break that open. First of all, let me go to Nada Hashwi. Yemen's president, most, if not all of the time, Nada Hashwi is referred to as a U.S.-backed president. Is he now more Saudi-backed than a U.S.-backed president, in your opinion?
Well, no, in my opinion right now, he's more Saudi-backed because, see, the Saudi officials and the other heads of states, the regional Arab states, are very worried about their situation because of what's happening in the surrounding region. So that's why we see the PGCC, of course, led by the Saudi government, is strongly trying to deal with the situation. And they're quite worried about what's going to happen to Yemen after Saleh. And I strongly agree with the gentleman in Washington and the concern of Al-Qaeda, because we've heard rumors about the head of the Al-Qaeda is set to, it's to believe that he's going to be coming out of Yemen, and that's quite scary, actually. But the concern of who's going to be a stable government, I'm really not worried about that, because anything is better than Saleh. After what he's doing to his people, this kind of a dictator is killing his own people in cold blood. He's not realizing that what he's doing is only buying time, because his end is coming pretty soon. The people are not going to stop. They want him out. He's only buying time right now because he knows he's waiting for some kind of a turn of event to happen. And the PGCC, they're dealing with the situation as if it's a political situation, which is definitely not. It's a revolution. The people don't want him anymore. He has to go. And the people has to decide who's going to come after, because just because the Al-Qaeda is present in Yemen, it does not mean that everybody is Al-Qaeda there.
Well, let's look at the extent that Saudi Arabia may go to. Ali Al-Kabani, tell us that. Saudi Arabia has supported Saleh practically since day one. They've even fought a war together in trying to crush the Houthi fighters in the north. Interestingly, Saleh himself is a Zaydi. And that was a war that they failed. They even fought a war against each other. So how far will Saudi Arabia go in terms of the situation in Yemen?
Ali Abdullah Saleh is the puppet of Saudi Arabia and the United States. Saudi Arabia, since he came to power, are paying his salary, his guard's salary, and Saudi Arabia is always using the checkbook policy to pay all the tribal leaders in Yemen. So they are controlling the Yemeni government and the Yemeni tribal structure, and they have been protecting the state of corruption in Yemen since Ali Abdullah Saleh came until today. Even with the GCC initiative, they forgot the main and the strongest player in the area now, which is the revolutionary youth, and trying to put pressure on the Al-Liqa al-Mushtarak, the joint front of the opposition political parties. Really, they are exercising pressure on them, and also the European Union and the United States are exercising pressure on them to accept their initiative, which is, in my opinion, illegal and unconstitutional, because they are offering immunity from prosecution to Ali Abdullah Saleh and the member of his regime, and they do not actually have the right to do that.
Right. Well,
because Yemeni people themselves and the revolutionary power are not represented in this negotiation and in this dealing. It's clear they want the regime to fall, they want Ali Abdullah Saleh to step down, and they are intending to put Ali Abdullah Saleh and all his regime on trial to try them for all their crimes against the Yemeni people. We could see that the Foreign Secretary of the United States, Hillary Clinton, today slams Beijing on their human rights record and kept quiet and muted to all the atrocities and the cleansing actually of the protesters by the likes of Ali Abdullah Saleh, the ruler of Bahrain, and the dictator of Libya.
Okay.
So the hypocrisy is still there. It's enough for the United States to do with Saleh and his regime what they did for Gaddafi, to freeze his assets, to not to deal with any member of his regime, and to demand that he step down with immediate
okay.
effect.
Let me bring in Brian Downing on a point that you mentioned, and that's on the youth group there. Brian Downing, let me get a reaction from you. I mean, the youth group warning was, quote, "We call on the U.S. and the EU and the permanent U.N. Security Council members to assume their moral responsibility and stop meddling directed against the will of the Yemeni people to ensure freedom and democracy." This was the warning by the youth group. The youth group, which is representative of most Yemenis across the board. Before we get into the fissure that has developed between the youth group and the opposition, tell us the demand that they have placed. Your reaction on that?
Well, the issue of immunity for Saleh and other people in his regime are, of course, issues for the Yemeni people and not for an American analyst in Washington. However, I will recommend that they bear in mind, people in Yemen bear in mind, that this is sometimes the easiest way to get rid of some sort of brutal dictator, is to give him immunity. Again, this is something for the Yemeni people to decide, and not me, and probably not the GCC or Saudi Arabia or the United States either.
Well, why would the youth groups come out and accuse the United States, accuse the UN, accuse the EU? Why would they come out and say that, to stop meddling in their affairs? Obviously, they have some reasons that exist for them to come out and say that. This is one of the stronger statements, not just directed at those three parties, but also at the opposition.
Well, I think they have their constituents, and whether it's as strong in the other constituents in Yemeni, in the Yemeni public, I'm not sure.
Oh, let me bring in Nada Hashmi then. Nada Hashmi, same question to you.
In this situation, you have various...
Let me bring in Nada Hashmi to get a response from her. Nada Hashmi, same question.
Can you repeat that, please, for me?
Sure. This is regarding the youth group warning on the U.S., the EU, and the U.N. to stop meddling in the Yemen's internal affairs, which is against the will of the Yemeni people, in order to ensure freedom and democracy.
Well, definitely, because they are the ones who's writing the scenario for him, and they're pulling the strings. Because if it wasn't for them, Ali Abdullah Saleh would be down, would be way out by now. I mean, we saw how you see the GCC. I call them the two-faced puppets. You know how they were how they dealt with Libya, and how they're dealing with Yemen, how they dealt with Bahrain, how they're dealing with Syria. How they're dealing with all the Arab countries. See, it's whatever, it's somebody is behind Ali Abdullah Saleh. And if it wasn't, and I believe it could be, strongly I believe it is Saudi, definitely backed up by the U.S. and the GCC, and they have to stop meddling with their lives, because, you know, this is, I mean, I see, look what's happening right now. I mean, they're kicking him, they're killing him. Where's the human rights in all of this? I mean, I want to hear the American talking about what kind of behavior is that. We sell weapons from one side and we talk about human rights from the other. So definitely the youth came out and said his words, enough is enough. They want him, they want to prosecute him. Immunity, there's no such thing. He killed enough people and he should be prosecuted for that. A killer must be dealt with by prosecuting him, not by giving him a new
right.
immunity.
Well, let's look at what has transpired regarding this Persian Gulf Cooperation Council deal, Ali al-Kabani. It's a U.S.-backed deal. It's led by Saudi Arabia. But what it has achieved, a rift between the opposition and the youth groups, which also, well, represent the Yemenis, which in a way leaves doubts on its real intentions. I mean, does it show that Saudi Arabia and the U.S. really want Saleh to stay?
I think they don't want especially him to stay, but they are helping him in his delaying tactics, because the guy is very deceitful, and he thinks that he can buy time, and seeing what is happening in Libya and Bahrain, he thinks that he can really, by using these delaying tactics, can win at the end and manage to stay in power. So he is going and coming with the GCC leaders, discussing minor issues in this initiative, saying that he will not sign on his capacity as a president, but will sign on his capacity as the leader of the political party. And then when they agree on that, he goes and say, I will not sign it in Riyadh, I have to sign it in Sana'a. And then say, for example, that he doesn't like the Qatari delegates because they have got something against Yemen. So they are helping him in his delaying tactics to try to gain time while he is sending his foreign minister to the Gulf countries to discuss the mutual relation and the policies and the events in the area. So the guy is a joke, and he is really playing on this initiative to accept sometimes and then refuse another time, while he is crushing the protesters and dealing with the foreign secretaries of the GCC as if nothing is wrong and as if he is the legitimate president. As I said, this initiative, the GCC initiative, have got a lot of drawbacks, and in my opinion, it's illegal and unconstitutional, because the parties in this initiative are illegitimate regime represented by Ali Abdullah Saleh, the opposition political parties which haven't been given a representation officially by the revolutionary powers in the squares and streets of Yemen, and the GCC countries who are meddling in the affairs of Yemeni people without consulting them. The demands of the people in Yemen are clear, that they want the fall of the regime, they want the president to step down, and they want to start a new democratic life in Yemen after the state of corruption which lasted in the last 32 years old.
Right. Well, let me bring in Brian Downing. Brian Downing, work with me if you can on this scenario. We're looking at the fact that perhaps Saleh is buying time. In the meantime, deaths. In the meantime, imprisonment, people getting killed. Now, in this scenario, aside from that being achieved as the end result, 2 weeks ago, after this Persian Gulf Cooperation Council mediation effort that's been placed, there appears to be a deadlock in which one analyst has said there's likely to be more violence now. So are we being set up in a sense that ultimately, maybe at the end, Saleh might agree to sign, but then, as we see, there's a rift now between the opposition and the youth group and the Yemenis for them to renege on this, and then perhaps what this analyst said, foreign intervention to enter into the picture after this chaos and bloodshed that has been occurred. I mean, is there a chance of this foreign interference? And keep in mind, we did have a U.S. Predator drone strike that occurred in Yemen just recently, in which two people died as a result. So that's not too far-fetched in terms of at least there being military activities taking place. This was a U.S. drone attack that took place.
Right. If I imagine everybody looking at this situation, or at least most of them, are thinking in terms of the Bahrain analogy, where Saudi Arabia and some other Gulf Sunni states sent troops there and crushed the peaceful demonstrations there. I think that's very unlikely in the case of Yemen, because in Yemen, the population is armed. There is still a very rural tribal structure in many parts of the country, and ownership of weapons and opposition to unjust authority and intrusions are very much part of the culture there. People have rifles, Lee Enfields, that their grandfathers used against the British, and Jazils that their great-grandfathers used against the Ottomans. It's very much embedded in the Yemeni culture. It's a warrior culture, and the Bahrain analogy is sort of a comfortable middle-class existence there that I don't think works well with armed uprising, at least not now.
Uh-huh. Well, Nader Hashemi, maybe you can explain to us then, when we look at what happened last year, and this is a fact, a host of Middle Eastern countries were responsible for over 75% of U.S. arms sales. And of course, we have to mention Saudi Arabia, the biggest arms sales in U.S. history. Part of that deal, 84 new F-15 fighter jets and a host of other military equipment. I mean, when we look at that, that's more than enough for Saudi Arabia, I would think. So it puts into perspective what Saudi Arabia is going to do with this. And now with the uprisings that have occurred, Yemen is part of that picture, isn't it?
Well, it's clearly bought to keep dictators on their seats. Plain and simple. I mean, I don't like to go around the bush and say that, why did they buy them? So they can go and fight Israel with it? What did they buy them for? So they can keep uprising from these kind of uprising from going on. They want to keep dictators. They want to keep their chairs. They want to stay on their chairs. They want to keep on things the way they are. So the more weapons they buy, the more innocent people they get killed. I mean, it's like we see what's happening in Bahrain right now. They were going into Bahrain and they were going like this, as if like, you know, we won. From whom? I don't understand. Situation is very, very difficult, very unclear. But for Yemen right now, I totally agree. The population is very heavily armed. And if they're thinking that they're waiting upon the people to uprise upon each other and to start killing each other exactly like happened in Libya and mm-hmm. foreign intervention mm-hmm. start happening, let's not forget about the Al-Houthiyin. You know, they're definitely very heavily armed forces and they're standing by.
Right.
And I believe the Saudi Arabia must not forget how powerful they are.
Well, let me get a closing remarks from Ali Al-Kabbani. Same question to you, Ali Al-Kabbani. This is a very combustible situation. And here we have Saudi Arabia. We cannot mention Bahrain, obviously, and how they've dealt or tried to deal with the anti-regime protests there. And of course, given Yemen with the different tribes involved, even though they say they're on the same page, the fact that a lot of the population has weapons, what do you see this situation heading towards if Saudi Arabia is sitting and wants to control the part that overlooks the Gulf of Aden and the Red Sea, of course, along with Yemen bordering the most production that comes out of the oil fields of Saudi Arabia?
Let me first agree with your guest in Beirut that all the armies in the Gulf areas and most of the Arab countries are armed to fight their own people. They never fought a foreign enemy. So Ali Abdullah Saleh used his army, for example, against his own people of the south to crush them, and now he is using his own army again against the protesters. The army of Saudi Arabia is only sent to Bahrain to crush the civilians. So those armies are really made to protect the regime, not to protect the people. And I think for the situation in Yemen, the revolutionary youth, I think they are intelligent enough and wise enough until now to keep their protest and uprising peaceful. But it's Ali Abdullah Saleh and his regime who are trying to make a confrontation and reach a state of a civil war like the situation in Libya or Bahrain to justify the heavy-handed army crushing of the protests and killing everyone and stopping this uprising once and for all.
Okay, I'm sorry to cut you. Unfortunately, we ran out of time. Thank you very much, Ali Al-Kabbani. We had Nader Hashemi from Beirut and from Washington, Brian Downing. Thank you all for your statements here on Press TV News Analysis. Thank you, the viewer, for watching. Newsroom at presstv.ir is our email address for any questions that you may have. From Mikabet Akbayan and the entire team, it's goodbye.